Like, I hope this place is packed out with people ready to get engaged. That's a really good promotion. I love that announcement. Thank you guys for doing that. I tell you what, we have a lot of talent in here, in this building. And I want to say, we were talking about in a board meeting this weekend, there's a little over 25 people attending, students attending our TLS, that's our leadership school. And that's really big for a bright future. That is amazing. Plus, we have a Thrive School of Supernatural Ministry where we have around 14 or so. I can't remember. That is huge. So there's a lot coming down the pipeline, I would say, over the next 18 months here at Thrive Community Church for us to be excited about. And if nothing else, come on, Sharon, come with me, to everybody else. If nothing else, Jesus is here. Come on, anybody love Jesus? That's good news. We got some Jesus lovers in here. We're going to have some fun today. I want to remind you guys of a way that you can connect to purpose and make a difference, as well as we're sending out a missions team. We're actually sending out two, but the one that's going to Honduras in October on the 12th. I want to remind you, we have some items. Let me see if I can do this still. Being gone make you forget about things. Maybe they'll control it in the back. I want to remind you, yes, of some items we are asking you to be a part of and sending to Honduras with us so we can bless the people there in Honduras and the mountain villages. We can be a part of real change and making a difference just through even these small things. When you give in these ways, when you give in any way, you're going with your heart. God is saying, I'm going to put a stamp of blessing for you and wherever this goes and how it blesses the people and whom it reaches. And I can tell you right now, when these kids and these teachers receive this in these mountain villages, it is life-changing. It's encouraging. It also edifies the school there, but the church, because all these little kids are go to church as well, and they're served. It helps the families in the communities, and you are literally helping a generation, and you're helping a nation. So whiteboard markers, calculators, like the simple calculators, the most simple calculators you could get, scissors, game, or math games, costumes, it doesn't matter, anywhere from this size to this size, this size to this size, anywhere in there. Don't worry about it. Make sure it's, you know, good costumes, like, you know, like princesses and things like that. All right. Soccer balls. Listen, even one soccer ball. Listen, if you can't afford anything, you can bring a soccer ball and make sure it's a good soccer ball, because those little kids will kick the heck out of it. Multivitamins, acetaminophen, and listen, money, so we can buy items there. There's a lot of items we still need to buy there. It just costs too much to deliver, to take with us, to pack on and take. So take a picture of these, if you will. There's that one, and then boom, there was that one. Boom. Don't forget about it. Remember it. We are in our series, Shifting, Moving On, Metamorphosis. I don't know if you remembered, a couple of weeks ago, we started this series and we talked about the digestion part. We talked about how a caterpillar goes into a chrysalis or a pupa, and then it transforms into its original design, what it's created to be, which is a butterfly. And the butterfly is its ultimate purpose, not being the butterfly, but fulfilling its design, which is being fruitful, it pollinates, being fruitful, and multiplying. And you know, God's called us to do the very same thing, to be fruitful and multiply, to be fruitful and multiply. When you are being fruitful and multiplying, you are fulfilling your God-given design, why you were created, when you were created, which, by the way, was in the mother's womb. If you don't know, that's when you were created, and you already had a purpose on your life before you were created. This is good news. And now the process of chrysalis is going through the transformation, the metamorphosis, so that it's a part of the spiritual journey, so that in the transformation, while you're in that cocoon, so to speak, where you're in that process of growth and becoming who you're created to be, you start to discover why you were created, the very purpose in which you were created, and everything that God has gifted you with to fulfill that purpose. It becomes a lot easier in life because you realize it's more about what God has already done, what he's already set forth, and you on the discovery so that you can find those things. And so we're going to talk about discovery next week, But I want to go into the develop part, because there's digestion. The digestion is the process of you getting over yourself. Like you're just a, you know, just a, you're, you know, you're a chrysalis, a caterpillar breaks down, and it breaks down so that it can become. And unfortunately, nobody likes the breaking down season or phase of life, but it requires a breaking down so that you can be built up. And until you're broken down in so many areas, we can't be built up, because we're still self-sufficient, and God has designed us to be God, to be dependent upon God. So we're going to talk about the develop part of this whole process, and then we're going to talk about the deploy in another series following this, the deploying. And so discover, develop, deploy. Next week we'll talk about discover. We're actually going to have an assignment for you next week. So it's not going to be hard. It's going to be easy. I know you want an assignment. Some of you start to trigger a little bit. You start to kick back and have little trauma issues. I didn't like homework back in school, and I'm not going to do anything you ask me now. And that might be why you're still stuck. You're 30 years into your Christianity, and you're stuck in the cocoon. So come on out. It's safe out here. Bust out of your life of poopa. Because some of you have a life that feels like poopa. And so, because we believe firmly that every person was created on purpose for a purpose. Can you say it with me? Every person was created on purpose for a purpose. That's what we believe. And it is our responsibility, your responsibility, each individual's responsibility, each person's responsibility to yield to the spiritual journey. That's the process that God sets in place. It's a biblical process. It's a yielding that's your part. It is a process of a yielding to the journey. He shows up and does his part, but he requires, it's not an option. There's only one answer that you can check in the box when it comes to this question, and it requires a yielding to the process that God has already set forth, so that in that yielding, in that spiritual journey process, your eyes will become wide open so that you can discover what your purpose is, why God created you. And once you've connected to your purpose, it's our responsibility, it's your responsibility to develop that purpose. Meaning now I walk in it, I've discovered it, and it doesn't mean you've arrived. You've just started to coming to an awareness of things that now you're responsible for diving into, for researching, for studying, for being a part of. Now you've got to enjoy the spiritual journey process of yielding in the developing process. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. It's one of my most passionate moments in pastoring, because it was something that caused me to come to life, coming through the transformation process, the cocoon process, getting the pupa out of my life, and getting out of those chrysalis season into being fruitful and multiplying. I want to glorify the Father, and that's, according to God's word, the only way to glorify him is to be fruitful and to bear much fruit. So Proverbs 29:18 gives us some insight for our lives. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, then they will stumble all over themselves. Like, if I can't see what I'm even here for, you're just kind of stumbling through life. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And sometimes it feels like my life is stumbling. Feels like my marriage is stumbling. Feels like my finances are stumbling. Feels like my relationship with my kids is stumbling. It feels like life is stumbling. But if you will attend to what God reveals, meaning if I become more attentive and I begin to develop what God has revealed to me, and I focus there and just start with that, and I do the yielding to that and let him do his work, then the promise is I will find that I am actually most blessed in whatever scenario of life I'm living in. So if you understood your spiritual journey, I promise you, you would accept it and be most blessed by it. We tend to be short-term thinking, minded, and so we want the immediate gratification. But with God, it's a process of time and transformation, and then you look back, and the gratification comes from the understanding of the great transformation over a period of time. One of our guys this morning was thanking me for what we do here, because when he gets out of here and goes and ministers in other places, he then realizes, wow, what a blessing it is to have been in a house that really is strongly advocates transformation and freedom. And sometimes we get caught, we're kind of in the cocoon of it, and we don't realize what we have, where we're at, what we've been blessed with, what we've come to know already. And I just want you to say, I want you to know, rather, that you have more than you need to start developing what God has called you to do. And so I want you to know also one of the blessings of this is there will be, and this is a blessed that is, it's a deep inner contentment. Like, even though life doesn't look like it should be all great and butterflies and rainbows, there's still an inner joy with hope that says, but God in the middle of any circumstance. There's something that works inside of you through the metamorphosis process that God, it starts to embed that into your supernatural, your spiritual DNA, and you just know that. But sadly, and this is what drives me, is that most people even in the church settle for less than what God has created them for. Psalm 16:11 says this, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. This is what he wants to show us, the way of life. And there's pleasures that we get to experience when we start to adapt and adjust and yield to the spiritual journey. Because in the spiritual journey process we're yielding to, all of a sudden we conform to his likeness, to Christ's likeness. And there becomes this season where we're no longer having the best ideas for our lives. We're yielding our ideas so that we can receive wisdom from God. And all of a sudden, we become so intertwined with the presence of God that he is actually guiding our life. His presence, which brings joy, his presence is with us. And we don't even realize he's actually making decisions through us and for us because of the intertwining and the yielding through the spiritual process, the spiritual journey. And then we get the pleasures of living with him. This is what he designs. This is the butterfly season. This is being fruitful and multiplying because God is doing it all through us and we just yielded to the process. And by the way, you'll find the most joy in your life when you choose to get unstuck. We have many stuck. I'm just stuck. I just feel stuck. I just feel stuck. My marriage feels stuck. My finances feel stuck. Well, it's going to require some hard decisions and hard work to get unstuck, because it wasn't overnight that you got stuck. It was a long season of not responding, not making the right decisions, not asking for the right solutions, not making the right commitments. It's a long season of getting stuck. So it's going to take some time to do the hard work, because it's heart work. There's got to be a heart transformation. There's got to be some beliefs changing, and that's going to have to take some traction. But when you choose to do the hard work, I'm telling you, you will discover more of who God is in you and how valuable you are to God. And this is why we want every person that comes through here to be introduced to the real Jesus. We want every person to find true freedom. I mean, true freedom in Christ, why Christ went to the cross. We want every person to connect to their God-given purpose. And we want, why? Because we want every person to make a difference, because we're all designed to make a difference. God created us. We were created on purpose for purpose. And that purpose is to make the difference that God has created us for. And by the way, I want you to know, you can't get one of these without having the first, the one before it first. And most people are stuck right here, 2 and 3. Finding freedom, connecting to purpose. They think they've connected to purpose because they're doing things. But the reality is they're either not doing the things to the magnitude of which God has designed for them, because they're still struggling with their freedom, or the things that they're doing, I'm going to answer this later, are not the things that he's actually designed for them to do. We'll get into this. So I just want you to know, Statistically speaking, 87% of the body of Christ is actually engaging and connecting to purpose and making a difference. 87% of the body of Christ. You know, we are the body of Christ. Can you imagine this? If 87% of my body didn't know what it was useful for and why it even existed, so therefore it did nothing but sat around, could you imagine how terrible of a life that would be? This might be why the church is impotent. It might be why we're so ineffective into a culture that is desiring and needing the body of Christ to be the shining light, to be the salt of the earth. But it doesn't know who it is, and so therefore it doesn't rise up and function as it was created to be. Hello. My son says, Ore, hello. When he's trying to get our attention. Ore, hello. And I'm trying to get your attention. 87% of the body, and you know who you are? Thank you, 13%, who's struggling and carrying the rest of us. Maybe that's why the church is impotent, but I want to tell you the enemies of purpose. This is sometimes we need to know what our enemy is because we oftentimes are fighting the wrong thing. Enemies are our purpose. In Romans 12:2, we see, says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If your thinking hasn't aligned with the will of God for your life, if it hasn't aligned with, I need more freedom, if it hasn't aligned with, God, what is your will for me to do? Why am I created? If it hasn't aligned with how to live out, flesh out God's plan for your life, then it still may be caught up in some customs of this world thinking. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think so you're no longer the 87% of the body who sits around. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. If you're not willing to allow God to transform you, then you'll never know what His will is for you. And to be willing means you've got to do some hard work to get unstuck, to start diving in, yielding to the spiritual journey that God has set forth to discover who you are, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I want to tell you three things that are actually enemies of the state when it comes. I'm going to go to that one next. First one is I'm going to use is confusion. Much of the body, confusion. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't even know why I exist. I don't know why God created me. It must have been a mistake. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just kind of bounce from church to church. It's like a Netflix series. I don't like that series. I go to the Hulu series. I don't like that series. I'm going to go to the Apple TV series. I don't like that one. I'm going to bounce over to Prime Video and whatever church has a series that pleases me. That's just where I'm going to be for that season, but I'm not going to get plugged in to the body of Christ and discover why I exist. Is somebody in the room? I'm confused. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I sit or do I serve? What am I supposed to do? Do I speak up or do I sit back? Do I get involved? Do I show up to the worship rehearsal? The recruiting? What would I do? Well, God has a plan for you. And I believe we've got a track that helps you with that plan. Confusion. And then the next one is actually comparison. Some people struggle with finding their purpose because they're too busy comparing other people, to themselves to other people's. Like I'm measuring myself up against somebody else that has a different purpose than me, and I'm defeated by it because I want their purpose. Too busy comparing yourself to their Facebook posts, their Instagram posts, their highlight reels. That's all they are. You don't know those people. You don't know that they just beat somebody up and then they took a selfie. Like you want everybody's highlight reels from every walk of life, and that was just a blurb in their life. And so you become defeated because you realize or you think my life will never look like that. Well, theirs doesn't either. Their life doesn't look like that. So quit comparing. Just do you. Do your part. Do what God has created you to do. And people spend too much time wanting to judge other people's portion when you have your own portion to steward. God has given each person a portion. Steward your portion. Well, mine's not as big as theirs. It could be. Steward it now. Get it going. Come on, everybody. All right, then lastly, the counterfeit. The counterfeit. It's a counterfeit version. Somebody might have told you, oh, because of what you've done, you will never be fit for ministry. Or because of what you've done, you've believed a lie that says you'll never be. Can I tell you about the guy named Saul, who was a murderer, and God used him to further the gospel, to reveal the work of the Holy Spirit from Old Testament to New Testament, to be a missional leader, to expand the church. Can I tell you about a guy named Moses, who was a murderer? And God says, and he couldn't speak, but God says, that's what I want to use you for. Can I tell you about these people who otherwise could have believed a lie that said because of what they've done, they can't be useful to God? But it's a lie. And you better be careful about buying in to that lie. That's a counterfeit version. But there's also another counterfeit version, because sometimes that leads us to a counterfeit version that says, well, I guess I'm just going to have to settle for work in the world, for a career. And I want to say, oftentimes, because we feel inadequate, we go and do the work for the career. But you don't need a career. You need a calling. And when you have your calling and you know what your calling is, the calling of God on your life, then ministry may turn into a career, but what you do turns into ministry. The career in which you have turns into ministry. It's no longer about the career. Now it's about how you minister within the space. That's a calling. And calling wakes you up in the middle of the night. Calling wakes you up in the morning. Calling gives you passion. Calling says, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Calling says, here's what I'm going to do with this day. Calling says, yielding to God. God, what do you want me to do with the people that you know I'm going to encounter? Calling has purpose to be fruitful and multiply within it. That's calling. I don't feel stuck. Yes, amen. I don't feel stuck when I understand my calling. I don't feel like my life is full of poopa when I have calling. There's a passion behind it. There's an awakening. And God made a purpose, and then he created you. You got to get this, he made a purpose, and then he created you. Psalms 139, this is David, he says, King David, he says, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. This is one way that the Bible explains that even the embryo that has been knit in the mother's womb is very important to God. Can you hear me this? Very important to God. And you and I have been given a calling and a responsibility to protect those who cannot protect themselves, have we not? Yes, we have. You have knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am not arrogant and proud. No, through all of his brokenness, he realizes beyond his jacked upness, come on, God has more for him. God can build something out of something that has died. God can cause something that is otherwise shunned away from society, because let me tell you, in his childhood, he was shunned away from society of his own family, and God says, I'm going to use you. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Why? Because he's experienced them. Because he yielded to the process of God. He developed what God had given him, and he found out it's your works. It's all you. It's all you doing it. All the days are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, before one of his days came to be. He's saying, before I was even born, when I was knit together in my mother's womb, thank God nobody got rid of me. Because there's a society that's trying to get rid of the next Davids, that's celebrating getting rid of the next Gideons, that's throwing parties to get rid of the next Sauls. You need to hear this. It's a spiritual attack on our world, and it's a spiritual attack on you to believe that. Oh, I couldn't get you in your mother's womb, and I couldn't get you out of your mother's womb. I couldn't get you dead, but maybe I can incapacitate you while you're living. He's really good. And when you look at how you're made, it points to what you're supposed to do. When you start to discover your design, which is why we have next steps, when you start to discover your design from where you've been, where you're at, and what you feel like God is saying to you, you start to discover where in that 87% that you've been dormant, you start to rise up. And when I see an eyeball, I know what an eyeball does. It's clear. And then that eyeball goes to work. And Thrive is here to move you from one point with God to another point with God so you can discover that purpose for the sake of making a God-glorifying difference in this world for eternity. And so I want you to know, though, if you're dissatisfied with your life, it's probably because you weren't pursuing God's calling for your life. You've been confused. You've been comparing, or you settled for a counterfeit. But God has more. He has more. And our dream here at pastoring you is not just to fill this room, but it's actually to see people come alive through this metamorphosis process until they start to realize that what they settled for was less than God, and what they start to walk in, they can make an internal and an external declaration that says, I was made for this. This is what David got to. I realize that you knit me, and I was made for this. What I'm doing, how I serve you right here and leading and teaching and encouraging and fighting the good fight for you, by the way, is because I was made for this. I've discovered my calling. I know why I exist, and it's to serve you in this capacity. And if you don't like it, the message ain't going to change, so you better get used to it. And it's probably something you need to hear, because you are made for something, and you are required upon God from God to discover that. So how does God reveal our purpose? How God reveals our purpose. We talked about the enemy. Now we're going to talk about how he reveals. There you have a call from birth. You have a call from birth. We saw it in David. It's in you too. There's a call from birth. Jeremiah, let's see another verse. Jeremiah 1, 5, and 8 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You were known. You're not an accident. How can your existence and the fact that you have breath in your lungs be an accident, or have no purpose or designs, or you're not an accident? You are very much on purpose. You are very much intended. In fact, you were created for something that was already created before you were created. You were created for that thing. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Someone, you are also someone who is supposed to go out and speak for the sake of God, to lead people, to restore people back to the Father. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. How many times have you confessed or declared things over you that should have, you in your mind, forfeited you from the work that God has called you to do? Yeah. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And if we make that our truth, we are settling for lies. We will live in this poopa mindset. We will live with less. We will settle for less, and we'll seek the counterfeit. And we'll never feel fulfilled. You must go to everyone I send you to and say, whatever I command you, do not be afraid of them. I am with you. When you start to walk with God because you're yielding to the process, the spiritual journey process that he has laid out in his Bible and his word, when you start to yield to that and you realize that you are walking with God, he'll start to tell you what it is that you want. He wants you to do, what he wants you to say, what it is that he has created you and causing you to walk out, because he will be with you. He says, I will rescue you, declares the Lord. What he's saying is, I will protect you from anything that you think is going to destroy you. And when you feel like all heck is broken loose, I'm going to find a way to get you out and glorify you in the situation. Because as we glorify him, he honors those who honor him. You want to be honored? Honor the Father. He raises you up. It's simple math. I want to tell you about my call from birth. I discovered it. You know, sometimes you can only see things forward and present from looking back. And I don't know if you've gotten to that point in life, you realize,
Dang it, how did I not hit that moment? Dang it, how did I overlook that waypoint? Dang it, why didn't I see that back then? But now that you found some freedom, your eyes, the smudge of life has wiped away from your eyes. And God, and when you're spending time with God, he starts to bring revelation. But I have this Linda Williams. She was my Sunday school teacher. And back then, a different church model. You have the one Sunday school teacher for the kids, and that's it until she's dead. Or he's dead, whoever. We rotate here, we give opportunity, and so it's a little bit different, but Miss Linda Williams, I loved going to her class, and she'd tell us Bible stories, we'd coloring pages that were represented the Bible stories, and she would always speak life into us. She would always speak what God was saying over us. Oh, you're going to be a great pastor. Oh, you're going to be a great leader. Oh, you're just so sweet. Oh, you're going to be a world changer. Oh, and just constant feeding and encouragement and encouragement and encouragement. She has two sons now, and they're both pastors. And let me tell you, they both have this great gift of edification, of encouragement. But she spoke into our lives growing up things that I didn't recognize. I remember going through high school. I wanted internal conversation. I'm giving you a peek in. I used to have these thoughts. Well, I want to be a psychologist. I want to help people, because I went through a difficult time in my life where I needed some mental help, emotional help. I needed some help, somebody. And I remember hearing of this second thought that would be right behind it, always connected to that thought. But yeah, you don't want to mess people up though. And you notice how when you're vulnerable, Satan tries to whittle his little voice in of discouragement. Man, I want to help people, but you'll mess people up. I want to help you, but you'll mess people up. And some of us, and I grabbed a hold of that. Yeah, I don't want to mess people up. So I settle for a counterfeit for so long. I realize that now. And before, I want to tell you another, before stepping into ministry and into moving to Honduras for actually, okay, Lord, I'm all in. Before going into that, I was considering going on a mission trip to Honduras. On a phone call with my mother, and she goes, oh, well, you know your grandfather. He helped plant a church in Honduras when you were a baby. No, I didn't know that. That would have helped. Oh, yeah, and your babysitter, my best friend, Vicky, she was a church planter. Nope, I didn't know that either. That would have helped. Call from birth. What else? A growing awareness. A growing awareness. I remember having a growing awareness whenever I was in college. I put myself back into college, went through a difficult time, and I had a teacher. I had a speech class. I hated speech. I was nervous about doing this. I was terrified to do this. It would scare the daylights out of me. I had to do it because it was an elective for where I was going, the courses I was taking. And so I remember in the final grade of the semester, you have to do this big speech. So I decided, I don't know if I was saved yet or in the process of salvation. I did a speech on the 12 disciples. With fear and trembling, and much of it, I gave this in front of my class and my teacher, this speech on the 12 disciples, who they were to Christ, how he chose them, what effectiveness they had, what they did, all these things. She comes up to me at the end of when it comes time to give our grade. She goes, Nathan, I just want to thank you for your hard work. She said, if you ever need a reference, then I'd be glad to give you a reference for anything you're going to do. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why would she say that? I missed it. Like, I didn't see it as a big deal. Now, looking back, I see that I was on a path, and God says, hey, listen, I want you to pay attention to this. In the future, you're going to need to know that there's something here, and don't miss it. Well, I missed the off-ramp at that point, but God set something inside of me for an opportune time. You know, Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish. There's some things that have happened in your life, and they aren't the end of the story, and you've settled for those being the end of your story, and that's why freedom's so important here. But once you find freedom from your hurts and your wounds and the situations of your past, you'll realize that those things were allowed and they did hurt and they were real. But there's so much revelation and so much healing and freedom, so much help you can give to others because of what you've overcome. And then there's walking through open doors. Walking through open doors. Some of you have
have had doors open. Like you've had opportunities, somebody saw something in you, they spoke it in you, and they opened the, hey, they invited you into a situation, and you said, nope, you discounted yourself, you said all those things that we talked about before, all the lies, the scroll of lies that you've agreed with, those were your deciding factors on what you're going to do next. You've had open doors. Esther 4:14 says, "For if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish." There was a spirit of anti-Semitism that was coming against the Jewish people, and God positioned Esther into a place at an opportune moment. For such a time as this, can I tell you, you have been placed on earth by God's design, by what he says, for such a time as this. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. She says, and you know, and who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther responds, she says, "I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. I will stand up for what God has called me to do and for God's people, and if I perish, I perish." Can I tell you, we need some Esthers to rise up in the body of Christ. We got some Karens in this world who are breaking havoc upon the earth, and we need to offset it with some Esthers who are willing to rise up and say, "I am born for such a time as this, and if I perish, then so be it." And lastly, I'm going to finish with this, and I hope you have this today, and some of you, probably you've had it, and you dismissed it. But I'm praying this over you today. Your staff is praying this over you today. We are just calling out to God that you have a God encounter. One that you can't resist or deny, that God spoke to you, even if it was in a still, small whisper of a voice, but he spoke something into you. And that thing that was spoken inside of you awakened something else inside of you. And somewhere, I want you to realize this, somewhere, because I'm talking to that deep back behind the scenes voice that's controlling you, that says, "I know I'm made for more than what I've settled for." And your life right now feels less than content and joy because you settled for less than what you were created for. And I want to call that voice out to the front that leads you in such a way that says, "I want to know what I've been created for. I want a fresh encounter with you, God." He will not remain silent on that request. How bad do you really want to know what you were created for? How bad do you really want to live a life of joy and contentment? How bad? I remember my encounter with God was in a cold shower in Honduras on a mission trip after a long an emotionally taxing day and week. And in that shower, he said, "I want you to stay right here." I said, "Yeah, but," he said, "stay right here." You know, God rudely interrupted me. Could you believe it? I said, "Yeah, Lord, but if that's what you want, I need support. How am I gonna pay for this? I'm gonna pay for," he said, "I'll give you more support than you can imagine." And I, in that shower, I decided I did not want to look back from the end of my days to that day right there and wonder what would it have been like if I would have said yes to the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. And from that day to this day, he has given me more support than I can imagine.
And so our hope is that you get to a point where you understand that God created me on purpose for a purpose. I want to say this over you. God created you on purpose for a purpose. Somebody close your eyes with me and just hear me and take this on as first person. God has created me on purpose for a purpose. God has created me on purpose for a purpose. God has opened doors for you. God has had something on your life since your birth. God has used the Linda Williams of your life to speak life, to saturate the soul, your soul with calling until this day. And we're hoping that you are having an encounter with God. I just want to say at the end of this service, we'll have a prayer team. And if this message is speaking to you, can I just see it right now? Has the Lord, have you discovered that the Lord actually has called you to something? With a raise of hands, a hand raise. Come on. And if you've yet to discover that, listen, maybe you're in the process of how do I discover that? That's why we have this book in the back for you, What's Next? If you'll just text Thrive Next Steps to 94,000, we want to track with you and help you along that process. Grab one of these books, devour it. One of our guys is leading a discipleship, a tribe. You can still get plugged into that tribe to go through this book with Terry. We also have another tribe called Rewind on Thursday nights that takes every one of our Sunday messages and breaks it down with more detail. But I want you to know it is time. I'm asking you to start the process of your spiritual journey with the Lord. Is that good? Come on, everybody. Let's stand up and worship God.